Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Hey, welcome to Writing Royalty, y'all. How's
everybody doing today?
What's good? How y'all ladies doing?
Good, how are you? How was y'all day?
Good, busy getting work done. I'm feeling good. I'm in a good spirit. We got a great show lined up for tonight. The legendary Kawan Foy going to be in the building. Got a lot to talk to him about. I'm excited.
Absolutely.
How was y'all day?
Hey, I'm here. I've had a busy day as well. That's always a good thing. I feel productive when I'm busy. How about you guys?
Yes, it's so good
yeah.
to be working. Definitely. But
we'd like to get off to welcome everybody here. Hello, everyone. And welcome to our Wednesday night edition of Writing Royalty Blog Talk Radio. Like Bebo said, we have a great show lined up for you guys tonight with the great Kwan in the house. We are so honored to have him joining us. And let me introduce myself. I apologize. My name is Ms. Tony, and I am one of three of your hosts on this show. I'm an avid reader. I love everything about reading. Reading is fundamental, and I enjoy everything about it. And to my right, I'd like to introduce you to my beautiful co-host, Miss Risha. Hey, Risha.
Hey, everybody. My name is Risha. I am the head of Writing Royalty Promotions, as well as the head promoter for Nini Capri and Boss Lady Publishing. I run four groups on Facebook as an admin. I'm super stoked and kind of honored tonight that we're going to have Kwan kicking it in the clubhouse tonight. We're going to have a good time. I also want to say a shout-out to author Serenity Hall. She is the author of Fiending and Still Fiending. She will be dropping her new book, Traces of My Blood. That will be coming out soon, so keep your cyber eyes peeled for that one. Also, I want to shout out Sabrina Eubanks, who is the author of that banging series, Love and Consequences. She just recently celebrated her birthday, so I'm going to say happy birthday again to Sabrina. Make sure you guys grab a copy of Painted by Nini Capri. Grab Aaron Bebo's Bunches of Love. And also Kwan's The Fix. It just came out yesterday on paperback. The e-books won't be out until March 1st, but you can pre-order those. Okay, that's enough of my plugs. Oh, I got one more. Make sure y'all go out and vote for Nini and Cash. Stress No Bitch has been nominated for the Urban Book of the Year. The link is on Writing Royalty website. Make sure y'all go out and vote. Now I'm going to hand it on over to, I call him the number one spinner. He's the director with the pen. Mr. Aaron Bebo, what's going on, B?
What's good? Like I said, I had a great day. I know we're going to have a great interview lined up. I'm excited. Like everybody else, I see the phone lines are still banging out. They're coming in. People just keep popping up. And I'm excited, man. I'm ready to get this thing popping, man. I definitely, this is the first time I ever really got to talk to Kawan at this length of, from an author perspective, even, as an interviewer. So I'm definitely excited. Hopefully I do a good job.
Well, you know what?
I'm dead serious. Like, for real. All jokes. I'm dead serious. Like, this is like this. I mean, for y'all, I'm looking at it a little different because for me, it's a little different. Like, you know, it's a different type of respect. You know, I'm just looking at it a little different.
Well, you know what I want to tell you, Aaron.
What's that?
You know, that cover, the Cupid's Assassin. You better stop showing out with that. I love that cover. Love
Thank
it.
Thank you very much. I'm just trying to improve.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know, just be good at what I do, you know, and from all angles. So I appreciate it. I hope other people are liking the cover as well. There's some pretty decent content behind the cover. If you get a chance, please check that out. Shameless plug.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. That cover is
since
hot.
You brought it up. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but since you brought it up.
I'm just saying.
Nah, I appreciate you, though, seriously. And I appreciate all the love I've been getting. You know, I definitely appreciate the readers. And, you know, I'm in a good space right now.
That's a good thing.
There's nothing wrong with
that.
Peace is a wonderful thing. Peace and happiness.
Yes.
It is. Well, let me tell all of our new listeners, because we have plenty of them out there, exactly what our show is all about. Our show is dedicated to bringing authors and readers together to build a greater respect for literature. And this is a great platform to do that. And like you, Debo, I'm also honored and a little gun-shy about having Juan on our show tonight because I don't know a lot about him, but I am a big fan. I've seen his name all around. You know, I have the honor of having some of his books on my Kindle. So this is going to be a great show, and I'm looking to learn as much as I can about him in the 2 hours that we have planned tonight. And our hot topic tonight, listeners, is it is what it is, his love. Now, we've been kind of struggling with this topic pretty much all week, trying to find out what is your definition of his love. So each of us have our own opinion of what it is, and I'm sure our many listeners have their own. So it's going to be interesting to hear how it all comes together. So without further ado, how do you define his love, Ms. Risha?
Hood love. I would say, I don't want to say thug love, but I would consider it along that area. That's just that ride or die all day type, you know, love that's like down for whatever, and loyalty being like a number one thing, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, B?
I got two different definitions because I think that the term is a little bit broader than how it shoots out. I think hood love is too, like one on one hand. I feel like hood love is it might be, you know, presented to a person as an individual where people see them in the neighborhood they live in or they roam about or where they be at. And people know them.
Absolutely.
And everybody loves them and respects them and has admiration for them or just genuinely likes them or cares for their character or who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Absolutely.
The second sense is when, like, I got to give this by example. Like, when I was growing up and I used to work at the storefront. We used to be out in front of the store and it was this guy who lived, this dude. He was like our age, too. We was young. We was teenagers. There's this dude that lived in the neighborhood, and him and his girl. And they were young like us, but there was so much other crazy chaos and all types of crazy stuff going on. But they were in a relationship, and everybody loved them together, like seeing that their success of their relationship through everything that was going on around us. Like, they always seemed happy, and everybody always saw that. Like, they were like it was crazy. Like, they was like an inspiration to the whole hood, like, as far as some relationship. It was crazy. You would have to be there to see it, but that's my other definition of hood love.
That's interesting. Now, the way I see hood love, it's just my opinion. You have like your traditional love, and then you have your hood love, and then you have your in between. Now I see hood love as, like Risha said, that ride or die, you know, that solid foundation is, and it's nothing traditional about hood love, which I guess is part of the beauty of it. So I agree that hood love is just as important as traditional love. And like you said, sometimes you can go into the not suburban areas and you will find that hood love, that solid love. And some people even say that real love. And then if you cross the street, across the bridge, or whatever you want to call it, you find that traditional love. And it may feel differently, but it's love just the same. So I think it's an individual thing, you know. But bottom line, love is love. That's just my opinion.
Absolutely.
It'll be interesting.
Well, let's see what I call it.
Love is love, crew.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Biba, you have anybody on the line that wants to chime in on whose love it is, what it is?
I definitely got somebody on the line. Let's see what they're talking about.
Okay.
We're going to take caller 504-722. You live with us in the Writing Royalty Clubhouse. How's your evening going?
Hello. Y'all already know who it is. I hope y'all know.
Ah.
Hey, Lanika.
What's going on? How you feeling,
Hey, girl.
Lanika?
Hey.
How you doing this evening?
Okay.
I know
you
got the definition for hood love.
I don't got no definition for no hood love. I'm bougie, so I can't see.
Oh, you bougie. Okay. Well, I mean, you could look down on the hood love and still tell us what you see.
Let me see. I know it's like people from the hood, the project and stuff like that, but I was born and stuff in the project, and like me and my baby daddy, that's my first boyfriend or whatever. I'm not going to say we was in love with her because I think I was in love myself because he was doing all his other stuff or whatever. So That's not no hood love. That's me loving myself.
Okay, well, what do you define as, you say, bougie love? How
that work out? I'm trying
right.
to see the
tell
contract
that
on
one.
That. I might want to sign up.
I'm just playing on no bougies. I ain't got no piece of bouginess in my bone.
Well, I would
be won't play bougie. But I want y'all to call, ring my line in back when Quine come on the phone because I want to ask him something.
All right. We definitely got you. I see your number. I got you. And I definitely thank you for calling in.
Always.
Yeah, you always be here. I was just about to say that.
Well, we appreciate it, Lanika. You know that, girl.
Yeah, we got to hook you up with something. And speaking of hookups. Yeah, we're going to hook you up with something, but speaking of hookups, we want to hook up a lot of different people, so we need y'all people, like we were saying last week, to go to the writingroyalty@gmail.com and send your email addresses so we can start picking the surprise person. Whoever email we pick, we're going to get them a gift. It's not always going to be books. It might be something from body bath, and, you know, all the little fly little things that, you know, you ladies like, because I know it's going to be a lot of ladies that's trying to win y'all more attentive to things like that. And
don't give me none of that. Give me some books. I ain't got no man right now, so I can't use none of that.
Hey,
well, have you read Bunch of Love?
You got to use that on the way to getting a man.
You have a little Bunch of Love.
No, I'm still reading Cupid's Obsession. I've been having a lot going on, so I ain't get a chance to read it yet, finish reading it.
Okay. Did you get?
Okay,
but I got you.
Yeah,
I'm going to get you Bunches of Love. So that way,
yeah,
when you get done with Cupid's Assassin, you just start up Bunches of Love.
All right.
Don't forget to pull me
back
in. Thank you for calling me. We won't
forget.
Pull me
back
in.
For being a loyal Writing Royalty supporter, we appreciate you. Thank
y'all
you.
Don't forget to tune me back in.
Nah, we got
put
you.
Back.
We know we got to the we don't. We're going to see the hood without the love. We're
going to see that bougie madness
right.
coming through.
Right.
All right, we got right, you. I got you. I'm bringing you back in. Trust me. As soon as we
all
open
right.
up the falls.
Thanks, okay. Anika.
Enjoy the show, Anika.
Okay, we got another caller.
Yeah, bring them in.
Let's take 864-450. Good evening. How's your evening going? You live with us in Writing Royalty Clubhouse.
Hi, welcome. Everyone. This is Ashley Nicole.
Oh,
hey,
what's
Ashley.
Up, Ashley?
Hey.
Another live supporter.
I try to call in when I can and support. I heard y'all talking about hood love.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have my little different versions of it, and believe it or not, I mean, it's not really one way to really describe it because of the fact that it's so many different ways of it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not, I myself, with my child's father, yeah, that was definitely good love, because I won't go into his occupation. But let's just add the word corner and him standing there. And for me, I was to the point where wherever he was, you know, I would want to be, but just so I could prove my loyalty, I stayed in the house a lot of the times, wouldn't go anywhere. But when we were out, there were times because everybody knew him, I felt like a goddamn celebrity. But It's sort of weird how it all pans out, and then I've actually been with a guy, basically same occupation, and he had a sweetheart, but he just was just, you know, a hoe. excuse the term, he was a hoe. I mean, so you got different types of it. You got the type that, you know, it's supposed to love, but, you know, they're going to make sure their girls stick with them. So that's their way of loving. They don't know. Majority of, I will say the majority of them, they don't know how to really display real love because, I mean, shoot, they hardly had it themselves while they was growing up. So, I mean, you really can't really say it's really love because, I mean, if that's love, then shoot. I hear a lot of, you know, females say, you know, they want hood love or that thug love. I want boss love. I tried the hood love, it ain't it. So, I mean, it's all depending on how you look at it. There's different ways to it.
I think it's like you said, it's an individual thing, you know.
Yeah, but I just wanted to call in and show my support and say hello to everyone.
Okay,
Ashley,
thank you for calling in. We want you to enjoy the show.
All right.
Okay, bye, Ashley.
Bye. Yes, have a good evening. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right.
Well, it looks like our listeners are kind of in the same boat that we've been in, or we're trying to define what good love is. What do you guys think?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it's because everybody got different experiences. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but and I really think it's an individual thing. Go ahead, Leisha. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I really think that, you know, it's just more of a maybe a strong and just deep. You know, sometimes, and Nene always say, sometimes people have an understanding that only those people understand. You know, and I just think that's what it is. But and sometimes it can be negative, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can view it as a negative thing, you know, as being with a male that's rough or, you know, a female that's loose or something like that. But I don't think it always falls that way. Like Bebo says, it has different sides. You could be talking about someone in your neighborhood that you have admiration for. You could be talking, using it to describe the deep feelings that you have for whoever you're with. So I think it goes both ways, but it can be negative sometimes.
Mhm. I think Ashley raised a point when she said that sometimes it can be the only type of love that you know, that you've been exposed to, and that hood love can have many facets to it, you know, and sometimes you may think it's love, and it's just how you go about your everyday life, you know, because they don't know, I don't want to say, quote, traditional love, but that's the love that they know, and they do what they know.
You know, so that you know women like to have a bad boy sometimes.
That's true, that's true.
They like to have a bad boy sometimes, and that's that hood love. That's that you got to have a bad boy sometimes. It takes us time to learn and grow. But, you know, everybody has had a bad boy at, you know, sometime or another.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be interested in hearing what our guest Arthur has to say about this hood love being it is what it is. So I can't wait to hear his opinion on this topic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just wide. Like we said, it's just so wide. Like, everybody going to have their own experiences. Hold on, we got another caller.
Okay.
Let me take 313-247.
Like, even like if we break up and I don't want to do it.
Hello? 313?
You're on the air with Writing Royalty.
Yeah, that's you.
Hey.
Don't hang up on us now, because it's still all love, like, for real.
Right.
Don't hit us with the hang up.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes,
hey.
Yes, we can hear you. Nah, but
what?
You was raising some good points
listening.
To somebody in
can
the... You was raising... Could we get those points you was raising in the background? Because you heard, you stopped me for a minute. I was listening to you.
Right, you ready. You ready. Go ahead on and get your points out because you ready.
I didn't even know I was in. I was just listening. Basically, what I was in was me and my dude, where we'd be, you know what I'm saying, we'd be arguing like cats and dogs, and people would be around, and they'd be like, oh, my God, like, they about to get it too, and it's about to be bad. And then, you know what I'm saying, we just walk away, or I go sit down, or he'll go somewhere, so then we'd come back, and we'd just be so cuddly. Other people like, what? We'd be like, I love you, you know what I'm saying, kissing, and what? And then, if I'd be like, okay, we're getting to it, and I'd be like, you know what, I'm done with you, I'm about to leave, I'll call another dude, and then he'd sit up here trying to take my phone from the phone. And he's so dramatic, like he one of those dramatic dudes where you would think, like he act like, to me, he act like something like the Hulk, like, ugh. You know what I'm saying? It scare a lot of people. It don't scare me. You know what I'm saying? But it scare a lot of people, and they be thinking like, this nigga crazy. Or like, for real, they think he crazy. Or like one time I had my friend, came over, and we were just talking. I think we were supposed to do some transaction. And, you know what I'm saying, he looks out the door. He knew I was outside. I told him I was outside with my friend. I think he thought I was outside with another nigga. He looks out the door. I'm saying, like, what is wrong with him? Like, he just looking. I'm like, yes, you did do that. You did do that. What's wrong with him? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I don't know what it is. And then, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people, they be like, y'all relationship, they always say, like, y'all is gone, you know what I'm saying? Y'all need to break up. I'm like, like, I know for a fact, like, if I decide to leave, he ain't going nowhere. Then if he decides to leave, I'm not going nowhere. It's always that type of relationship. I don't know. That I guess that's what hood love is.
That's well defined.
Yeah,
who are we speaking with?
Yeah, what's your name?
That's one thing. Huh?
What's your name?
Joanne?
Yo, okay. You broke that down right there. I gotta tell you, cause it was so real. The animation, hey, you got it down packed. That's real hood love right there.
Absolutely.
Like, for real. Don't even go near the pawn shop. Keep the ring. Y'all got it. I'm telling you, that's it right there. But I just want to know one thing. Can I ask you a question, Joanne?
Yeah.
I want to know, why would you be calling another guy to pick you up? I'm just because you slid that in there, and it kind of blew me off for a second.
I would call another guy just to piss him off. Like, okay, because he, to me, he act all brand new, like, oh, I don't care, I don't care. And I'm like, okay, well, let me call somebody else to show you I don't care. Like, it's another you. Whatever. Don't nobody like to see you mad. You all right.
Yeah,
but,
I gotta give
know
it up to y'all. Y'all got it. Y'all two, y'all stay
that's
together.
That's the definition.
Because y'all got the definition down packed. I'm glad y'all called
yes,
in for real. I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, that was so live right there that anybody that's wondering what the topic is tonight could take the question mark off their uniform and lose the mask. The Riddler has left the building. You is definitely, y'all got it. Y'all the one.
Yes.
And we appreciate you calling in.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Thanks for calling in. Enjoy the show.
Yes, please continue to listen. Yeah, that was Hood Love right there, y'all.
Oh, that's
Hood Love.
Agree. They understand.
They understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they that was live. They was right there on set.
Both of them.
It's no better. Yeah, exactly. So you know it's real. You know, it wasn't
absolutely.
Like she's calling from a homegirl house. You know, like, he right there in the background, that's real.
Absolutely, because he knows he's gone through it with her. They've gone through the trenches of that Hood Love.
He making sure she ain't calling no other dude. Like, who you, is that really the internet show? Play with me up in here.
Stop.
Put on my alternate tank top on you up in this piece. Nah, that was real.
Call.
Shout to Joanne, for real.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling, Joanne. You pretty much nailed that.
Yes, you did. But it's almost
Joanne,
time to bring our guest in. I'm looking for his number. But it's tough. Go ahead. I apologize.
Oh, no, this is for Joanne. I know she's still listening, but I want you to hit my inbox so I can get you a free copy of The Fix by Quan.
All right.
Make sure you hit my inbox.
Yo,
and if you haven't got that tainted, we're going to get you a tainted, too.
I don't know if Joanne is still on the line. We might have to get out to the next caller unless she called back in, because I definitely see that her number is no longer there. But if she's still listening, Joanne, you need to try to call back in if you want to get that copy of The Fix.
And tainted.
Yeah, and tainted. You know, call in or... You know, somebody else going to beat you to the punch because they boxing around here for books.
So please call back in, Joanne, if you can.
Yeah, nah, I'm just joking. Ain't nobody boxing for books. We just joking. It's good humor.
You're good for that, Diva.
Yeah, I want people to be happy.
Oh, absolutely.
For real. I'm looking for our guest number. I'm looking for Kwan's number, and I definitely do not see it.
You don't see it, Jack?
Well, let's take it. We got more callers we could take until he
We got a ton of callers.
Yeah, we got a ton of callers. They ain't pressing they one, no. I don't want to just bring nobody in. I ain't just bring Joanne in. It's like, <you're> really good. Yeah, I don't know nobody thinking that. Like, I'm just bringing you in. Like, Joanne really pressed her one.
Absolutely.
I was talking about something else, and I just stopped, like, oh, somebody just pressed they won. But
I
want to
shout out the Clubhouse
chat.
Let's shout out the Clubhouse chat. We want to shout out to the certified AW in the house. Hey.
Okay.
Hey. How's that chat room looking, Lisha?
The chat room is bouncing. It's not as live as... These lines is live. Y'all need to push y'all ones.
The lines is crazy right now.
Please push your ones, because we'd love to hear your opinion on what Hood Love is. You could be living it now, you know someone that's lived it, or you have lived it, but we are all
Don't have that conversation in the background. Just press your one.
Have that conversation with us.
That's what we're here for. Yo, these lines is bonkers right now. For real.
Absolutely. You know, everybody waiting on fun.
Yeah.
But I'd like to go back to something that Joanne had mentioned about how her and her man would handle that business out in the street and how the onlookers were looking like, what the heck are they doing? Like, you know, that I can see that happening. And sometimes you read in your favorite books incidents like that happening. So that was a really good example of what hood love is, you know, because I can see it in my mind where they're literally going at each other like cats and dogs, and they separate for a bit, but they come back and all lovey-dovey, like Joanne said. That was a true example of what hood love is. That's, I just wanted to make that little comment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it gets no realer than Joanne. I'm serious. Like, that did it right there. That was it.
Mm-hmm. So nobody wants to press that one? We have, like, 10, 12, 15 callers on the line, and nobody wants to press their one to talk to us? Or are they waiting for the famous Quan? Is he in the house yet, Debo?
No, he is not. I'm waiting to see his number pop up. And he is
Beyonce. Okay, so what is, any other opinion that you may have on hood love, Misha? From the callers that we've received so far?
Yeah, it's
I actually went, and there is a definition for hood love.
Why don't you share that with our listeners? I'm sure they would love to hear that.
There is, I couldn't believe that. I was like, you think? But I didn't agree with it, only because it says that hood love is abusive love. And I don't believe that love at all is abusive. Because love doesn't hurt. Love makes you feel good. Love makes you happy. It's not easy. It got its ups and downs. But it's not anything that should make you feel sad or you're hurting. I don't believe that that is love at all.
Mm-hmm. And I know some people say that hood love is not real love, and I don't totally agree with that, you know, because who's to say that someone going through an example like Joanne is, who's to say that they don't love each other? You know, who's to say that that's not real love?
Exactly.
You know, so I don't totally agree that hood love is not real love. Love is love, and it's love is within your heart, and it's an individual thing. So if they want to label it hood love, they want to label it traditional love, as long as they have the label of love, I have no problem with it, none at all. And of course, that's
not my opinion. Nobody can't define anybody else's love. Like, that just sounds ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
like that don't even sound like nothing, you know, nothing normal.
It's true.
So.
And I don't even want to read the definition because I felt some kind of way about that definition there. It was like a really negative. I'm like, and I don't believe anything about love is negative.
No, I don't either, you know, because love is, I think, it's corny as it sounds, makes the world go round. Is that the saying? Love makes the world go round?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I know love makes life a lot easier.
It really does.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it all falls to the definition of love.
Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, Vivo, that when you were growing up, how they had the icons in the neighborhood, you know, it kind of is centered around that love. Like the younger kids look up to it, you know, they run around, they know they feel good, and when you're in the presence of love, so it's not just the two individuals, it also extends to the people around them, you know. It has a calming effect.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, Mary J. Blige wrote a song. Go ahead, B.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying definitely it has a it makes things. I guess whatever your definition of love, if your definition of love is pleasure, then it'll work for a common effect or something positive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Some people define love by circumstances of hurt and pain. So
absolutely. You know, Mary J. Blige got that song. You know her hook. She got that song, Hood Love. Is it? No, it's We Got Hood Love. That's the song. But the hook or the lyrics in the song is something like, we got hood love, we be fussing, we be screaming, like it's over. Then I'm longing, then I'm fiending, just to hold you. It's like that back and forth, that friction. It's like I can't be without you, I can't be with you.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mary J. Blige, sorry.
Yeah, Mary definitely. Whew. Hope Mary get up out of that little situation she got. But Mary definitely be throwing it down for the hood as far as the love joints. Like, she always got some real hardcore joints that the hood is going to gravitate to immediately, because she defines that. She defines that hood love and that hood pain and all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
How is anything in love?
Go ahead, Tony.
I was just thinking that some, like, take two couples, for example, and just think of their economic background. Now, the person that has less money, they, as opposed to a person that has a whole bunch of money. Now, the couple that has a whole bunch of money may look at the couple with less of money and think, you know, the quality of their love couldn't equal theirs. So it also can be looked at as an economic, you know, and they may not respect the love of a lesser income couple as opposed to a higher income couple. You know, that's what, I guess you would say, the traditional love comes into play. But love is love, like we've been saying all along. But the economics just popped into my head when you were talking about hood love just now, people.
Well, on that level, I've got to be totally honest. I have to disagree a little bit with
okay.
you right there, because I feel like people who do have more money have a better understanding of compassion, believe it or not. Like, not saying that they're compassionate, but I think they have a better sense of what it is, meaning that they can look at something and really see the true quality of it, and, you know, not have nothing blur their vision, because money's not a vision blur to somebody who's already well off. So when they look at something, they can define it a little bit better, because there's nothing blurring their sight as to what they're looking at, because they can obtain basically anything they want except for what they see right there. So
okay,
I
hear what you're saying. I'm going to agree to disagree there, because just because they have money doesn't make them more compassionate than someone that doesn't. You know,
no, I didn't say they were compassionate. That's what I'm saying. I definitely said that I don't think that they're compassionate. I'm not saying that makes them more compassionate. I'm saying I think they have a better definition of what compassion is, because they don't have no, they just have a clear sight to it. They're well off. They're not seeing anything but what's below them. They're not having crisis. So when they see crisis, they can definitely recognize it. Because it's outside of what's normal to them.
Okay,
I think you both are right.
I think it's a slang. It's really just a slang for a type of a love style. It's an urban love style. And I believe it just goes both ways. You know, sometimes it is negative,
yes.
But I think it's negative when people put the negative spin on it. You know, some people think that relationships in an urban environment are never positive.
Right.
You know, so sometimes they think, like the definition I found online, where they think is physical assault and, you know, multiple partners and tons of babies.
Yeah, that's just something
and
crazy.
Stuff like that.
That's a single definition, but I don't want to cut you off, but I'm sorry. Our guest is here, and we've been waiting on the man.
Right.
For real, I ain't trying to cut you off, but we've been waiting on the man. Definitely want to let him in the building right now.
Well, this author right here has been on the grind for 11 years. I think it's been 11 years, and it's
Hello?
Still on top. Hey, Quan.
What's
hey,
up? What's
Quan.
Up, y'all? Can
what's
y'all hear me
on?
Okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I got these headphones and I'm trying something new because I need hands free. Like I'm typing while I'm talking to y'all.
Okay.
Welcome to the
how
you doing? Welcome to the clubhouse.
Yes,
thank you, thank you. I appreciate y'all having me. Y'all know I be mad lately, man, because sometimes you know you agree to do these blog talk shows and they throw some ratchet shit at you and you be like, yo, who do you think you're talking to? Like, no, nah, I'm just kidding. But thank you for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope
nah,
you're not
yeah, thank
to that category.
No,
yeah,
no, no, it's all good. You know, I went back and I listened to the archives because like, I always do that. Like, that's something I learned to do. Like, you got to listen to the archives because somebody will tell you, like, yo, come on, you're just going to do this, that, or the other. And then they'll try to hit you with some bullshit and you get on there. And then you cursing and you conducting yourself all ignorantly. And nobody, like, the people who are not privy to what was said before that don't know. They just think you on some ignorant shit.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate you listening to our archives, and I hope it looks like you enjoyed what you heard. This is Tony, by the way. Welcome.
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we have a hot show.
Have you been able to listen to any of it while you were waiting?
No, this particular show that we're on, no, I wasn't able to listen to any of it. Y'all want the truth or a politically correct answer?
We want
the honesty. Let the club out. 6 feet up, relax.
Oh, man, I had to get some cigars, so like, I kind of roll up and do, you know, and know what I do before we get into what y'all do, and everybody do it together.
That works for us.
Indian style.
That definitely works for us. So let us know, how do you define hood love? What's your opinion on that topic?
My opinion on that topic is there's no such thing. Like, what do you call hood love? Is that because, like, people come from a certain demographic, like, that's love in the hood? Or do you mean, like, a dope boy and a dope girl? Like, my thing like this, I mean, I don't know if I would say there's no such thing, because you do have that special kind of love. Like, if you have a lady or a guy in your life and y'all have been through the adversity and through certain things, and coming from the hood, and, you know, you guys just refuse to be defeated, you know, and just to try to get to where you need to go, I guess that can be considered hood love. But, like, love is love. Like Oprah said, love is a verb. So love is love, whether you live in a skyscraper or whether you live in a tenement. Like, love is love. If you love somebody, you love somebody.
Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty much what we've been discussing this evening. And everybody seems to have a different opinion, but saying basically the same thing. You agree with that, Alicia?
Absolutely. I honestly agree that it's just really slang for love, but it's, you know, a hood style of love where it's just a meaning for maybe a deep, strong, passionate type love. I don't believe it to be negative. I don't think anything related to love is negative or hurtful or anything of that nature. I just think that it's an urban style of love, you know, that people use. And I don't see anything wrong with it.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What is an urban style of love? Do people from urban areas love differently than people from rural areas? Now, I'm not being a smart ass, but, like, this is just me, you know, just me being me. I'm inquisitive. I'm like a kid.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, you know, there's always the traditional. Everybody uses the traditional style of love and relationships. And, you know, sometimes people think that this is how it should be. But love comes in different shapes, sizes. And I think that a lot of people don't believe that within the urban community that we have love, but we do.
We do.
You know.
We do, and we probably love harder than anybody.
I agree with that.
In urban communities, we love harder than anybody. You know why we love harder than anybody? Because we ain't got shit. Mm-hmm. Love is an alien thing to us. Like most of us come up, and not most of us, a good amount of us come up in single parent homes or raised with their grandmothers and their aunties or whatever, and you know, we just get by from day to day. So we really don't understand love until you meet somebody who maybe come from what you come from or come from somewhere else, but you meet somebody and they love you regardless of what you got going on or what you don't have. So when you finally discover that something which was alien to you all of your life, you hold on to it. You, mm-hmm. you definitely hold on to it. So, like, we love harder than most motherfuckers. Because we are unfamiliar with love, discover it, we hold on to it, as opposed to people who fall in and out of love all the time and don't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I hear what you're saying. That's a good point. That's a great point, actually.
Definitely.
But
now,
I'll just take it from there. We do love hard when we do love, you know, because we're giving it our all, you know. So that's all we know how to do is just love the way we love. And I think there's someone that wants to come in and speak to Quan. She has a 201 area code, Sibo.
A 201 area code? I don't see no 201 area codes.
He's raising his hand high.
Yes, my hand is high. Don't play at me, Aaron. You know I get the acting up. You know I'm here.
I know
the only Nanny Capri. You already know. You know my brother is in the house, so you know I'm here. You know I got to grace the clubhouse to come in here and talk to Quan. I'm honored that he is on the show. He took his time out of his busy schedule. When he say right to eat, he mean that. And, you know, he trying to put
anything for you, Nene. Nene, you're one of the few people, like, when I say that shit, anything for you, I mean it, because you a genuine soul. Ain't no fraud
Thank
about
you.
You're not fraudulent. You're not Hollywood. You're not off that industry shit about, like, you know, you're just a genuine person, and I will always appreciate you for that. And whenever I come about, I do.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. And, you know, you as well as Charlotte have always shown me genuine love and respect and, you know, always try to, you know, shoot me a gem every time we get a chance to be at an event together. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that because, you know, a lot of people get, you know, in the industry, they got these gems and they try to hold them all hard to their chest, you know, don't touch their lucky charms, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we get to an event together and it be on.
I don't have not one iota of love in my heart for people who move like that. That's some sucky shit. Like, people be so motherfucking afraid, like, if you give the next author a gem or a jewel to try to help them come up, like, they're going to take their spot. You do what you do, and you bring your A game to the fucking table every time, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not on it, like, I don't want nobody to be beholden to me for nothing I ever did to them, or I don't have no fear of nobody's that shit is just not even on my radar. That's why I always say I live on Mars. Everybody else lives on Earth. So, like, that ain't even my MO. And I see it, too, because, like, when I was trying to do my little come up, and I would ask questions of people, like, well, how do you go about that? And then, like, the responses I got was, like, just so phony and counterfeit. And now it's, like, 23 novels later, go fuck yourself.
Right.
Like that. And that applies to anybody who knows for a fact that they said some fuck shit to me or did some fuck shit, go fuck yourself. I'll tell you on the radio or I'll tell you when I see you. Go fuck yourself. Because it's not right. It's not right. It's wrong. Like, knowledge is free. People complain about the state of urban fiction or the way the game has been played, but who's giving jewels? Who's taking anybody under their wing to say, like, do it like this or do it like that? So if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. Get the fuck out of my face.
I agree, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's like you got the young author coming in. It's like having a child in the house, you know, and they running through the house, and they got scissors in their hands, and they writing on the wall, and nobody's saying anything, you know. And then when everything goes wrong, then people sit back and say, you know, well, dang, why are they doing this and why are they doing that? And they get to that point where they're like, man, F you, because I asked you or I tried to come to you. Or I tried, you know, I had a young author get on the phone with me, and he said that, he was like, you know, Nene, like, I need help. You know, could you help me? He said, I asked somebody very respected in the industry to help me out. He said, and they told me, I'll charge you $2,000 for that information.
Oh, hell no.
And he a young boy. He was like, you know, Nene, please, you know, just help me. I don't want to go back in the streets. I don't want to go back to hustling. You know, he had his books on Amazon. He had them real high priced. He didn't really understand. He tried to upload them himself, and he did a darn good job. He just needed a little bit of direction. So, you know, I've been mentoring him, and, you know, I'm trying to get him, you know, an editor with not out of his budget. He's raising his kids by himself. He working, little jobs. He's like, I just want to write. I just don't want to be in the street. I don't want to get killed. Like, I just want to do something positive and different. you know. So I've been trying to work with them. And it really hurt me to my heart, and it was somebody that I really respect in the industry, and it hurt me because I was like, damn, you know, if you got somebody like this that you see is trying to do something different with themselves, and they're trying to use the written word. Like we talked before, I mean, it was 300 years. They would not let us read, would not let us read.
You better talk about it, Nene.
You know, and now you have people in prison behind the wall. They writing themselves out of jail cells. They able to be somewhere else other than locked up and confined. They getting their GEDs. They getting, you know, college diplomas because they're reading. The first book they ever picked up was a Quan book or a Wahida Clark book, and they tried to read and they taught themselves because they didn't want to be outside of the loop. They wanted to read. So, you know, when you see people picking up this craft and having a love for it, it's like, how could you deny a person literature and writing and reading, you know, especially if it's a black man or a black woman?
Insecurity.
So, you know, yeah, we got to help each other.
And, Nene, that shit is all about insecurities. Let me tell you something, and this is just real. And people like, and like I was just saying, like, you know me, if you give me a microphone or a forum, I'm going to say whatever I want to say. Whoever gets offended, like, you go fuck yourself or give me 5 minutes. This is just some bullshit. Like, and it's to be about, like, all right, if I get on and I'm going to try to help pull the next man on or the next woman on or whatever, whatever, and we can swap and trade information and do it like that. But it's like it's turned into, like, who gives the best hand job. If you don't stroke me off and you don't stroke my ego, then I can't help you, you know. And also, like, and on the flip side of that, you got a lot of people out here, like, presenting themselves in a false light, like they are gods or deities, and they really ain't shit. Like, oh, yo, I fuck with this one, or I fuck with that one. Get the fuck out of here. What does it matter? Like, all that bravado and that bullshit, if you're not helping anybody, then you taking up space. Nigga, move. Nigga, move so they can get to somebody who may be able to actually want to actively help them. And I'm not talking about a publishing deal or whatever. You'd be surprised, like, sometimes people, a few words can go a long way and change the direction of somebody's life. So, like, you got a lot of these motherfuckers, like, if you don't stroke them off or you don't want to carry their books or you don't want to share their links, they don't want to share information, you don't need people like that. The motherfuckers are fraudulent. They're fraudulent. They're not long for this game or this work.
Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. And it has a lot to do with what we talk about, this love thing. You know, we're talking about, you know, hood love and all those different types of things, but that first love is self-love. You know what I'm saying? That love
Absolutely.
Of self. That means that love of kind, that love of those whom are like you, who share your same struggle. You know what I'm saying? Who share that same having the odds against them struggle. You know what I'm saying? That's that first love, loving yourself, loving your community, loving the people around you, you know, and wanting to help them come up out of a crisis. You know what I'm saying? And that's that first love, that self-preservation, you know, helping one so that it can help us all. You know what I'm saying? If we don't do that in this genre, like I said before, they'll be looking back and say, once upon a time, some niggas got together and wrote some books.
Yep.
It won't even be respected.
Once upon a time, them niggas got together and wrote some books. What's next?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, but that's real shit, man. And that love of self is such an important thing, especially in your industry, because a lot of new authors feel like, a lot of new authors, even though they write for themselves, they approach it with a perspective of wanting to be liked or wanting to be respected or wanting to be appreciated by the veteran authors, or not even the veteran authors, but the authors who they enjoy reading. And I learned a hard way when I reached out to a veteran author who, like, I love this motherfucker's book so much. Like, if the book was $15 and I had a $20 budget to where I had to eat, get cigarettes or whatever else, I mean, I'm going to get that book and maybe buy a couple of Lucy's and eat an egg roll for dinner because I was so appreciative of their work. So when I reached out to the author, they, like, shot me down, like, nigga, what you want to hand? I'm like, holy shit, really? So, like, and it's funny because years later, the tables turned. And people couldn't understand why I was being such an asshole because they did not know the story. They did not know how I read that email, and I was like, I'm crushed. I'm not writing no more. This shit ain't for me. But I had to get back, and I had to look at myself and say, like, nigga, you got to stop writing to be loved or accepted by other people. You have to do what you do. You have to be comfortable in the skin you are in. you have to learn to love yourself before you can even know if a motherfucker is coming at you from a place of love or a place of shade. Because if you don't love yourself, anytime somebody shows you any type of adoration or appreciation, you think that motherfucker is your best friend until they stick their knife in your gut.
Ain't that something? You know what? And that's right. That's some real talk right there. And what you said about that type of love, when we talk about this hood love, like, okay, you have, you know, welfare wifey and, you know, you have the Section 8 and different things like that. And it speaks of that different type of love. And earlier you said something about, you know, that unconditional. And I think that hood love that they speak of comes from a place of, like you said, wanting acceptance, wanting to be loved. A lot of times that first love that a man or a woman coming up young in our environment receives is from that crush, that boyfriend, that girlfriend. Like, they may don't have a mother or a father in the house, or the mother or the father may be on a substance. Or, you know, grandma raised them, and, you know, it's just a lot of people in the household or whatever it may be. But that first actual love of somebody showing them unconditional, I don't care what you look like, I don't care what you have, I love you because I love you. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
What were you trying to display? Like, when you have that welfare wifey and that Section 8, you know, wifey or that, you know, that type of woman who's in love, what were you trying to display?
Okay, well, first and foremost, let me just say, those were titles that were picked by the readers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the stories, they had absolutely nothing to do with the title. Which, you know, it was cool. But what the shock value of it, because when you see a title like that, you're like, let me pick this shit up. What are you talking about? But what I was trying to convey, like, with the main characters, Animal and Gucci, like, Animal was a kid who came from a background to where his mother didn't know what to do with him. His stepfather didn't want him. So he was like, Animal was like a new author, like a dog looking for a pat on the head from somebody they appreciate and respect. And he had a heart of gold. And on the flip side of that, you had Gucci, who didn't believe in love. She was fearful of loving a man, and Animal did not know how to love a woman. So essentially they were teaching each other something, and they realized that they had more in common than they may have initially thought. So it was like that love is special, like when I met my wife. I was a fucking hot mess, and I told anybody that I was just really wild, and she wasn't. So it was like finding a medium. So when you find somebody that you care about that deeply, you don't change who you are, but you may tone down your antics, and vice versa, and they do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like finding a middle ground. Love, to me, is finding a middle ground so you can both appreciate each other's qualities. So when nobody's changing as a person, but they're adjusting in a sense to fit. Because when you're in love, it's no longer you or her or he or she. It's y'all.
Absolutely.
So you have to adjust. That's like if you're going on a road trip with somebody and you're a clean person and this person doesn't believe in washing their ass and they always stink. You can't go on a road trip with this person. You have to at least wash your ass for that one day when we're going to be in this car together. So it's, you know, meet in the middle.
Right. Let me ask you something, you know, coming from, you know, that mind state and that condition of activity of being wild and being rough and finding a woman like Charlotte, did that help you love yourself more and get in tune with yourself more by loving her and letting her love you?
Absolutely. It sure did, because, like, there were certain things, like, you have to understand, like, I'm not from a family. I'm from a clan. And my clan, the four, is like, we love each other in our own way, but we don't come together, we don't hug, we don't kiss, we don't say I love you, we don't do any of that. We can form, we got to fuck somebody up, and then that's when the love is showing, because we're whooping ass together.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Charlotte is from a different kind of family. Like, her family, like, they do things together, they go places together, they say I love you all the time, they take pictures, they have formal Christmas parties and all that shit. Like, the first time I went to one of the events, like, I came how I would come into one of my family events. Like, I got the liquor, I got the drugs, I got the what up? And they're like, that's not really how it goes over here. Like, well, how you doing? Like, you know, getting hugs and shit. People are hugging me, and I'm like, well, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand this. I don't understand what y'all doing. I don't understand what's going on. So it definitely taught me to not only just love myself, but to love other people. And that love is not a bad thing. To show love and to show compassion, it's not a bad thing.
Wow. That's powerful. You know, that's powerful. And it shows that when we talked about that unconditional love, how it does change. You know, it does change things. It changes the dynamic of your very character, your very core, and even the DNA, because bringing those two things together, you know, I've met your little princess, and she, her spirit is awesome, you know, so I can see the strength
that,
of both.
She gets that from Charlotte's side of coming. But my other daughter is more like me. She's very loving also, like Alexander. She's very loving. Isaiah is a loving person. But she's more like me. She don't need people. She's just like in her own world, and she lives in her head. She's writing or she's drawing or whatever, and she don't need people. Like, she loves her father. She loves her mom. She loves her stepmom. She loves her brothers and sisters and all that good stuff. But, like, I see so much of her so much of me and her that it scares me, because I know how I was a very emotionally removed child, and I'm more emotionally removed now. But when I say emotionally removed, I don't mean it's a bad thing, but I mean, like, our guards are always up. We down for whatever. We about whatever. Whatever is going to come, it's just going to be, like, and that's like with Alexandria, on the other hand, Alexandria loves everybody. Well, not everybody, because there's been a few people she loves. Daddy, I don't like him. You shouldn't bring him around anymore. But Alexandria is very loving. Like, she gives her toys away, gives her snacks away. To her. And I'm like, oh, stop giving them kids away. Stop giving your stuff away.
Now you might need that for something, right?
Yeah, but she's just like, you know, Daddy, it's okay. Like, I have so much. It's okay.
That's a blessing. Mm-hmm. That's good. Absolutely. Do you mind taking any callers, Quan? They have the lines lit up. Can we?
Can you bring someone in,
Aaron, so we can let them weigh in? This is awesome.
Yeah, let's bring in 504-722.
Live in the clubhouse. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hello.
No.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm starting to know your voice, right?
Yay.
Anika is awesome.
I am.
Well, good. You said you wanted to get on the line. The man is here. What are you doing?
Quan, what's up, Quan? You know I got to come back with you.
Well, yeah, of course. What you think? Did you start reading the fix yet?
No, because my auntie
Cut off. She ain't start reading it yet. You go to the fix.
No, you better not come, y'all. You better not come, y'all.
Linnika, you're going to the corner. You're about to go to the corner. You didn't read.
I'm going to read it tonight at work.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to see some updates in the clubhouse and Quan's clubhouse. And we want no spoilers, but we want to every so often here. We want to every so often here shaking my head or something so we can know it's real.
That's right. I'm going to read that book. Calm down.
I know you got it. So,
we know
so
you
people,
got them.
People are so used to reading the animal storyline that I think a lot of motherfuckers forgot that I'm one of the baddest motherfuckers to ever sit down and say I'm going to write a book. And I'm not saying it to toot my own horn. I'm saying it because that's my truth and I believe it.
So,
I can write anything. So, like, with bringing the whole Persia and Little Monk and Omega, like, and it's like it's a breath of fresh air. People love animals, but I'm a writer. Like, I'm always writing. Like, that story to fix was something I just had kind of sitting around, and I'm like, all right, well, here. Because for the first time, a publisher asked me, like, what do you have other than animal? Like, we know Cash Money has you doing animal with Cash Money until further notice. But what do you have other than that? And I'm like, oh, I got this. And they're like, oh, shit. And I'm like, yeah. So it was a good thing for me, too. Because, like writing, your brain is a muscle. You have to always exercise your muscle. And that's why I write in multiple genres throughout the course of the year. Throughout the course of the year, I may put out a book in several different genres. Because I believe in exercising my brain muscle.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
hello?
I read across the board and I write across the board.
Go ahead, Linnika. Let Linnika talk so she can say what she got to say. Go ahead, Princess.
Because y'all is aggravating. I can't even get one word in.
Come on, get your word in, Precious. Come on.
Go ahead, Linnika. Go ahead.
That's good love.
Be quiet, be quiet.
But no, shout out to KRG, and they had wanted me to say a word, so this is for Lawrence, baby.
What?
He wanted me to say
the is a nut.
What was that?
What happened? What was you speaking? Creole? What did you say?
I said, what are you speaking? Creole?
Well, you crazy. I didn't hear it. It was just like some country shit.
They wanted me to say baby. They said they liked the way
I
said it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were trying to get you to say that for a while.
I know. They're disgusted.
And that shit is so fucking New Orleans. Like, you was like, you probably walk around with New Orleans soil in your pocketbook. Looking
yeah.
to get that going.
Well, Anika, thank you so much for calling back in.
Yeah,
enjoy the show, Anika. We want to continue to listen.
Yeah.
I got a question for
you,
we talked earlier, and I listened to your wife's interview, and she talked about, I mean, just the type of wife you have. We already talked about that. She's awesome, and I ain't never met her, and I know she's awesome. Just
she
by
is.
That interview,
oh,
you
solid,
heard the love,
solid.
The admiration, all of that.
Yeah,
and
she's the best.
She said, you
she
like
is.
Mr. Mom. You got the kids and you type in.
Yeah.
How do you balance that? Because you're a publisher, you're an author, you're a father, you're a husband. How do you get all
and
of
I'm
that?
And I'm an ass whooper too. Don't leave that part.
Uh-oh.
I'm an ass whooper. I'm a little older, a little wilder, but I still beat the. Never mind. Yeah, but it's like I have very irregular sleeping habits anyway. So it's like I get an hour or two of sleep or whatever, and I'm okay. Like, there's been times, like, Charlotte will tell you, like, there's been times that I've been here and I'll stay up for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just up, and it's like, and then, you know, I'm up and I'm trippy. So it's like the way my day is going, like, I do what I got to do for the kiddos, and, you know, I get up with everybody when everybody's going to work and school in the morning, and I can't say I help with that, but I'm up, and I do take my daughter to school. So, you know, I'm up, and then when they go to school, like, I'll check my emails and stuff, and I'll write. But I always have a story window open. So there is never at any point in the day, unless I'm asleep, that I'm not typing. We can be in the bedroom. We can be in the living room. Like, I'm always typing. And it's because I have ADD. I'm like one of those people. You ever watch TV with somebody who can't watch one show? Or they got to have the radio on and the TV? Because
mm-hmm.
it's like their brain, my brain moves that fast that I have to keep feeding information in order not to go crazy. So that's why I can just be up and around and I'm like a ball of energy doing all this stuff. But, I mean, more importantly than anything that helps me to manage my time is knowing that I got it right. When people start putting labels on you and they say, yeah, the best is this, good, this, that, it's putting a bullseye on your back. So I have to always just be at my shit. But at the same time, family is important. Because when I'm burnt out and I done had a breakdown, well, I got to go to the emergency room because I done worked myself into a fit or whatever. It's the family that's there and it picks up the slack. Like when I had to write Animal 2, my family would probably see me once or twice a day because I was always in my office writing. And they didn't complain. They didn't say anything. They just took care of the day-to-day household stuff and they picked up the slack. Like, my son may say, you know what, you don't have to take out of school today, I'm going to take it. Or Charlotte may take it. You know, or Charlotte may say, you don't have to cook tonight, I'm going to cook. Because they knew, like, I was in that. When you start to smell me, and I'm not getting my hair cut, and I got on the dirty sweatpants and all that shit, like, that's when everybody just kind of falls back.
Like, it.
No, because it's real. Like, and
yeah,
I
it's real.
So this mold, like, that mold. But I understand, like, family is more important than anything. So regardless
right.
of what I'm doing or how much sleep I have not had because I was on Facebook or because I was writing, I have to spend time with family no matter how sleepy I am or tired I am. I sleep when I'm dead, when I'm stinking really dead.
Hmm.
I got a question for you, Quan.
Uh-huh.
I want to, can we talk, because you just brought up about your writing habits and everything. I wanted to talk about the books for a minute. I ain't even going to lie. I just went over here.
Me too. But I didn't want to push the floor of the show.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. I wasn't bitter looking at the time. I was like, yeah, I want to talk about the book. First thing I want to talk about, can we talk about Chris Green?
Who's that?
Come on.
Oh, the Chris from Right to Eat Chris Green.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's a gem. She's a gem. She's definitely a rare find.
Okay. I mean, I didn't mean to throw no awkward question like that.
It's not an awkward question. I mean, shit, we can go down the line and talk about every author's sign she likes to eat, and I can tell you, you know, the pros or whatever.
Okay, nah. I get it. And my next question, the fix. What did you present different this time? You as an author looking out, because you were saying that that everybody's just locked into animal, so you had to show them, like, you know, I'm a writer, which I never I never got that. I never doubted that anyway. But I'm just
my thing is this, man. Like, regardless of how long you be in the game, right, and what you accomplish and what you do, you always got the little section of cute little cheerleading niggas. So sometimes I'll jump out and I'll write some shit just to throw a nigga off. I'll just put some shit out and jump out and thing and do that. They're like, damn. Because, you know, niggas be like, oh, he can write at that animal shit. Oh, he can write at the animal shit. And then I'll jump out with something. Like when I did the Purple City Tales, they were all erotic stories. And niggas was like, oh, I didn't know he could write that. Of course not. Because you're too busy whispering about what the fuck you think is going on. So you have to, like, I got, like, for as much as I say, being pegged as one of the best or the best, or however you want to phrase it, you have to show and prove all the time. So sometimes I'm the aggressor and I go on the initiative and I'll jump out and put some shit out like with fits. Like, and you have to understand something. Some people have something that they stick to. Like, let's say if I knew Animal was my best-selling series, so I put more effort into Animal than I did anything else. With the fix, it's like I'm showing you that I put the same amount of effort, if not more, into anything. I come ready to play 48 minutes every night. Man, ain't no bench for me. I come to play until I die every night. So with everything that I put out and everything that I do, whether I write it under a pen name or under my name, I'm at your ass.
Yeah.
I got one more question for you. Oh, go ahead, Tony.
Hi, Quan. This is Tony. I'm a relatively new fan of yours.
Hey,
and
Tony.
Hey, Quan.
I threw you off, right? Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
I had asked around online on Facebook about what books I should start out reading you, because I really wanted to get into your style of writing. And everyone had suggested Animal. So I downloaded Animal and I downloaded Animal 2. But the cover is just so intimidating.
Yes, I'm an intimidating person. I'm a bully. You didn't know?
No, you're not a bully. But the cover is so intimidating that I haven't even cracked open the new seal yet. And I'm standing here listening to you, and I'm listening as a fan instead of a co-host. I apologize, Nene.
I'm gonna have to do,
and I also pre-ordered the fix, so I do have your book. It's just a matter of just getting past that cover, because it's a little, like I said, intimidating. So I shouldn't be intimidated by
the
story. I'm understanding.
Don't be stirred.
And that's exactly my problem.
But to keep it 100 with you, Animal and Gucci story, like if you're familiar, because it goes back further than Animal 1 and 2. Animal and Gucci story is a love story. So,
okay.
Like, you look at this cover, you look at them grills, and you feel like how we got the joint in Boston and all that, like it's going to jump out at you, like he's going to bite you with some grills. You're supposed
exactly.
to, because that's the kind of character Animal is. But like we were saying when we were discussing Love in the Hood, there's a yin and there's a yang. So
okay.
When you have somebody like that, you put them with someone like Gucci, like, it's just a really, really dope love story. You would have to go back to Section 8. Section 8 welfare wifeies and eviction notice to really appreciate the growth of Animal and Gucci. Like, he would on grow characters. He would put out series that's 1,000 fucking parts with no growth. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to grow my characters. When I first wrote about Animal, Animal was like 17 years old. Animal's in his 20s now. By the time Animal 2 comes, Animal 3, he's in his 20s. So it's like you have to grow your characters, because when you show that you're growing your characters, it shows that you're growing. So, again, I go back to say, like, don't just take the cover. Like, the cover was a statement more than anything. The cover is like me saying, like, you don't want where you about to go, where you about to try to go, thinking you can. So the cover is a reflection of my mindset every day. Like, when I look at the little innuendos and bullshit, like, you think you're cute, but if I slap you, would I be wrong, or would you be wrong because you provoked me? And the way it relates to the book is, like, Animal and Gucci, like, it's such a great love story when you get wrapped up in it. You're like, they're so cute, but Animal will bust your fucking head. So, and that's why the cover had to be like that. And the reason it was like that also is because it was the first book. When I made Animal a spinoff from the Hoodrat series, it was his very first, like, really stand-alone novel to where he was not a main character with a bunch of other people. So it had to be impactful. And with the cover, I didn't use nobody that nobody else is using in the genre. Not to take anything away from the graphic designers in the genre, because I do mess with some of them. But I had to get somebody who was just totally out of the box to do the cover.
Hmm.
It's definitely out of the box, because when I look at that cover and it says Animal and it has this man with these teeth in his, it's like it's an animal just waiting for you to open up this book, and so I'm just going to roar at you, you know?
and that's part of the reason why we toned down the second one. Because the first one was just so, because you're not the first person to tell me, like, I'm uncomfortable with this cover. And I'm like,
really?
Good. And we've done our job. You're uncomfortable. We've done our job. So, see, with the book, it's about, let me give you all a jewel. And anybody that knows this knows. A book is more about just the story you've written. Packaging is very, 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 very. If your packaging looks subpar, then maybe, because the packaging, the book cover, in the title is what gets somebody to even pick it up, to flip it over, to look at the synopsis, or to thumb through it to see how thick it is. So at a glance, you know what I'm saying? So when you don't put a lot of thought into your packaging and you're using a bunch of recycled, just sloppy bullshit, you look like everybody else. You don't stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to put a little more thought, a little more money behind your packaging. But at the same time, though, if your story is ass, you can have the best cover in the world. If your story is ass, the cover is not going to help.
Well, since you said that, Quan, we got let me shout out the chat room right quick. We got Kiana in there. We got the Laser Truth in there. We got Ollie Moss in there. We got several guests. But Kiana wants to know, what will we never see or never have in a Quan novel? What will we never see in a Quan novel?
You'll never see me bringing back the dead.
Mm.
And when I say that, like, I have a rule in my books, because I think you have a couple things you'll never see. You'll never see me bringing back the dead. You'll never see me breaking one book into 1,000 pieces and selling it to you. You'll never see. That's pretty much it. But what I was saying is my rule about the dead, like. If you don't see a body, then you never know. Like, if I show you a body,
right.
If I think this person's murdered, I'm not going to bring them back. Like, oh, well, one of the bullets just narrowly missed the second bullet hit him in the heart and plugged the hole in his artery that the first bullet had made. So that's how I was able to bring him back. And then he got the thing that Tony Stark's got, an Iron Man that keeps the bullets from going all the way in, so he lives and he functions. Fuck you.
Mm.
I'm not doing that. I'm going to just keep my stories greedy in how they are and entertain people. You'll never see me doing any of those things that I mentioned, and you'll never see me out wearing my wealth.
Okay. That's what's up. Aaron, I need you to do something right quick. Hold on. Before you got a question, I need y'all to bring the Queen Sabrina Eubanks on. She's at 347-261. Bring her in right quick. She like to holler at Quan. Please bring Miss Sabrina Eubanks on if she has her one press. Take her off hold right quick.
What's her number?
347 261.
261.
Mm-hmm. Looking right at that in the queue.
I found it. Want me to hit it?
Okay, well, let her in.
Let her in, please.
Hey, birthday girl.
Hey, y'all. What's up?
Hey,
Sabrina.
Not a thing. You know, I had to holler at Quan.
What's up, Sabrina?
Not a thing. Not a thing, boss.
You the man, Quan.
You the man, Quan. I had to call in for Treasure and for Quan. You know, I love them. And Wahida,
yeah.
You know.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
They were the throne up here, you know what I mean? But I just wanted to say hi, and I wanted to ask you what you were going to do next.
I got a bunch of stuff. I got, anything you need as far as books or just period?
Let me ask you a bigger question. When are we going to see you on a big screen?
I'm on Celebrity Crown Files pretty regularly.
No, I'm talking about one of your books.
I know.
You need to do that.
I shot the 18-minute short film, Love and Gunplay. We got about 60,000 views on YouTube.
All right.
I'm working. It's kind of like this is the thing. Sometimes you really don't want to talk about what you got going on.
Yeah, I could do
it. Like a thought travels far and fast. And for as many people that are happy that you'll be doing what you're doing, there are a lot of people who are not happy. So that, you know, so I just don't like to block my blessings. But I got some stuff in the works, and y'all are going to be like, wow.
We already like, wow, Quan. Okay.
I have not even wowed yet. You got to understand something. I'm still kind of young, so I feel like that I'm nowhere near the pinnacle of where I'm supposed to be. Like, I was telling somebody this earlier that I had a dream, not like a physical dream, like a dream, like something that I see in vision. For where I see my life and the life of my family going, the state of the genre of the African American hope literature scene, and it's like a secret. Like if you keep that in the forefront of your mind, and you bring it to existence, and that's why, like, if you see, like, I'm on social media a lot, but like I don't feed into none of that subliminal shit, none of that corny shit niggas is doing, none of that ball riding line shit. I don't feed into none of that. I just kind of stay my course. It's not to say that I don't see it and I don't catch everything, because I ain't never been slow. But I just stay my course because I'm focused on something so much bigger. And ultimately, I would like to be, like how people say, like, Kwan is a great writer of books. I would like people one day to say Kwan is a great writer of film. Kwan is a great director. Kwan is a great husband. Kwan is a great father. Kwan is a humanitarian. So I just want to live my life to the fullest of its potential, whether it's books or just being blessed to be on this earth for a very long time and see my grandkids and my great-grandkids and just be a good man.
That's what's up. That's all you can ask. Tony, if you're looking for somewhere to get in with Quan, if you just started reading him, start with the first, you know, back in the day stuff. Because you can see his evolution. Gangster.
For real.
That's still the blueprint. That's niggas trying to rewrite shit. But that's still the gangster. Gangster is still the blueprint. Because I say that because I was so just emotionally like, I wrote my first book on my mother's deathbed, and I had to write my mother's eulogy. When I wrote my mother's eulogy, I thought I can write anything. So gangster, like, I will never let people in like that again. I didn't know I was doing it at the time, but I'll never let people in like that again. Like, I'll never let a motherfucker in my streets like that again or just see that part of me. Like, that's like you peeling back all of my skin and muscle and bone. So even if I wanted to, I couldn't recreate it because I'm in a different headspace. But you can definitely see the evolution.
That's what I was saying. You can see the evolution of you as a writer.
I just one clicked.
You just one clicked it?
I'm looking to try to one click it. Is it in Kindle?
Which one? Gangster?
Gangster.
Yeah, put in Gangster by Kwan. And you have to look in the Kindle store. Something about the way they listed it. Because if you type in Gangster by Kwan, the paperback will come up. So, or if you go to my, do you know how to search my Amazon author page? Like, just typing in my name?
Amazon author page?
Yeah, if you just go to Amazon, you type in my name, my author page. A lot of people don't know that. If you set up those Amazon author pages, it makes it really easy for people to find you when they look at you on Amazon. That jewel is free. I'm going to charge y'all for the next one. But like I was saying,
no, you're not. If you type
in my name, it'll pull up my Amazon author page, and everything is there from Little Nicky Grind to because there's something with Amazon. And I don't know, and like, see, I'm just a big thinker, so I watch all this shit. There's something Amazon is doing to mm-hmm. where for certain titles, especially with the Kindle titles, mm-hmm. they make if you're a Kindle paperback audio author, you a few later, sometimes they make it a little bit harder for you to find, especially with a situation where Gangsta was re-released. Because it was already in the system as a Triple Crown book, Gangsta.
Right. But
they had to pull all that information when we got Gangsta and Road Dogg back. Road Dogg, August 14th. Anyway, but they had to pull all that information. So they make it a little bit harder. And I don't know if it's something they're doing on purpose or if it's something that we're just not doing properly. Oh, thank you, Ali, for just posting the link in the group. I love Ali.
Are you re-releasing that? I was just about to tell her to get it.
Let me tell you something, brother. Like, that's why I can't. Nobody never second-guessed the size of my nuts. That was a fight I stayed in for 10 years. And you never heard me kick no dirt on her. You never heard her kick no dirt on me. Like, we handled that like G's and worked it out. It took 10 years, but I'm like a pit bull. Like, once I lock on, I'm like, oh. And I'm glad that it would be an amicable split. Everybody's happy. Now, I have no ill will towards the publisher or... And to my knowledge, she has no ill will towards me. We just had mimosas in Houston a little while back, like, on some bullshit. So it's like, you know, and that's what it is. But, like, to get my first two books back, man, that shit felt better than anything ever.
Yeah, I got one. Awesome. I got a question. This is kind of...
Wait a minute. I had a question, and I have to
go
wait. I'm going to need you to wait.
Go right ahead.
I'm just saying.
Well, play with you, Leisha. And I spoke to you now.
Now, you bought a Triple Crown, and I want you just to tell us a little bit about your literary journey. Tell us
Well, like I said, I wrote my first book when my mother was dying. My whole fascination with publishing, I'm a voracious reader, always have been, always will be. I used to just cut school as a little kid and sneak to the library and just be in there, hidden in the corner, reading. So I've always been, and my mother always made me read. I wasn't a TV kid. So, like, my whole thing trying to explore publishing at all was trying to help her get published. Like, and she got sick. Like, and to really understand the depth of what I'm saying to you, I grew up in a crack house. Both of my parents used drugs. I bounced around for whatever relative would have me at the time. When it got to a point where I was not getting proper care at home. And not to take anything away from my mother. My mother's the strongest woman. My mother's stronger than any 10 niggas you can get. Like, just watching her kick drugs cold turkey and take care of me and come back in my life anyway, like I was saying. So going through all of this, I had started establishing a relationship with my mother as an adult. So, you know, and I never knew my mother was a writer. All the time, I never knew my mother was a writer. I had no fucking idea that my mother was a great writer. So, like, when we began to establish that relationship and she was letting me in her writing and stuff that she was had going on, because my mother had it mapped out. My mother had a bunch of stuff that I still haven't boxed it. She tried to help her get on. So when she got sick, like, nobody, unless you've lost a parent, there's nobody you can talk to about what it feels like to watch your mother die. To just establish a relationship with your mother. And only to have someone say, yeah, your mother has about a good 6 months that she's left. You want to sign this paper for the DNR? And it's like, hold on, wait a minute. Like, what are you talking about? What's going on? So, like, the only outlet I had was to write. And I'm writing this story. And it was not supposed to be a novel. It was just a memoir. And I wrote it over the course of the time, like, as my mama was getting sicker. So by the time she died, I think they told my mother lived. They told my mother she had, I think, a year or 3 months. My mother lived just like a couple of months. So it's like we had to make up for all that lost time in those few short months. So I'm going back and forth to the hospital, and you know, going home and I'm working on this story, which was a memoir. It was a release for me. It was my sanity. And by the time she died, the book was done. And I was going to self-publish it, but back then self-publishing cost like 10, 20 racks. It was not, you could just upload some shit to Kindle and dog in your bestseller. It didn't work like that. So I hollered a few people, some authors, kind of asked them what I could do differently. and none of them were very receptive. But I did what I had a bookshelf. I had a big bookshelf in the living room, and I pulled off the shelf, and every publisher or author who had their information listed out of these hundreds of books, I would email them or I would write them. And Vic, one of the only ones who responded. But I sent her an email that was like, I'm a thirsty motherfucker. Can you point me at a glass of water? And so, you know, we built a rapport, and she presented me with an opportunity to put this book out. She was starting a publishing house, which would be called Triple Crown. And she's like, you know, you would be the first real author I ever signed. And, like, it would be just me and you. This was in the beginning. And so I'm like, you know, fuck it. I'm the first author you ever signed. You don't have a big roster, so I can learn under you. I can learn under you. And at the time, when I was sending my stuff to publishers, they were saying Chick Lit was a big factor. They were saying that there's no market for this. People don't want to read ghetto stories. But I'm like, okay, well, they got this. Because there was, at the time, there was Coldest Winter Ever, Let There Be the Reason, Be More Careful, Truth of the Game, Getting Gangster. So publishers were not really, especially major publishers, because Terry was independent. Vicky was independent. Shannon was independent under Terry. I think Sister Soulton was the only one of all of us who had ever had dealings with the majors. So it was like, all right, cool. Well, I can learn from you. We didn't have a lot of money. Shannon came in throughout the course of the process, and Shannon definitely, shout out to Shannon Holmes. But Shannon helped finance Gangster. So we didn't have a whole lot. We had tapped out, and we didn't know what we were doing, and that's why the first version was so poorly edited. We didn't know what we were doing. We tapped out, and we put this book out, all black cover, bullet holes in the letters, 197 pages, and we held our fucking breath. We didn't have any distribution. I can remember to this day, Shannon Holmes bringing me my first case of Gangsters on 50 feet. It started snowing, and I was outside crying and stuff. I was crying for two reasons, because I got my very first book and because the editing was hard. But it was what it was, so we held our breath. And it went, and we sold everything in like 2 weeks. When I say like, we didn't do a small print, right? So like I said, we didn't know. I think we did like 5,000 or 10,000. And these are paperbacks. And I'm unknown, and we have no distribution at all besides A and B and Culture Plus. And they wasn't even really rocking with it. You have to understand something. At the time, when the story, the manuscript started getting circulated around, everybody was like, he's going to be big. We need his contract. Let's buy you out. Triple Crown, he's small. Let's buy you out. And Vicky definitely gave me the option, like, well, you know, people are coming with way more money than I can offer you. And you, I'm like, nah, fuck them and fuck that. Like, I'm in the trap. I'm doing what I'm doing. Like, this book is just extracurricular. Like, come on, let's go. And it sold. And I became a household name, like, damn it, instantly. Because while everybody else was writing stories that were based around strong female characters, I was writing for the gangsters. I was writing for the murderers. I was writing for people who are throwing life. And that the only time they'll ever see the fucking streets is within the pages of my book. I was writing from a place of hostility and anger. Like, that's all these chick books, man. Like, I'm writing about, like this is what I know. This is what's going on in my life. This is the fuck I'm going through, man. Fuck you. I don't have no home or nothing. I'm living in the projects, eating Roman noodles, smoking Lucy's, and drinking St. Ives. Fuck you. I'm writing from a place of anger. And I was the only person doing that at the time. And me not even realizing that I had stumbled on, I was just writing myself. It's still what I do to this day. But I had no idea what I stumbled onto, because dudes started hitting me like, yo, I feel you, nigga. I'm with you. And I'm like, yo, no. But it's the story and my presentation, who I am as a person. I've always been a real nigga. Ain't never been no industry sucker. Ain't never been no fuckboy. Anybody that know me personally can tell you that. And that's not to glorify my past and what I come from. That's just to say, this is what kind of person I am. And this is why people gyrated to me. I wrote for the downtrodden. I used to have this saying that the streets needed a voice, and I spoke up.
That's powerful.
I'm sorry. I know that was long as hell. I'm sorry.
No,
not at all.
That was powerful, and we all needed that, you know. And we thank you for sharing that piece of your heart and that piece of your soul, because, you know, like you said with the book, it's like pulling back that skin and, you know, scratching certain surfaces that some, you know, wouldn't want to talk about or wouldn't want to expose. And it helps us to get to know the man behind the pen. You know what I'm saying? When they say legend, that's where it comes from, you know. And I thank you for sharing that with us. That was powerful. You know, I've never heard that part of the story. So I'm just sitting here like
that's,
awestruck.
You know, that's just my truth, you know. And that's the thing why a lot of times people wonder what, because I'm one of those people, I do not think was my biggest gift and also my biggest downfall. Like, if I don't like a motherfucker, then I have to tell that person, I don't fuck with you like that. Or if I got love for you, then I hug you every time I see you. Like, Nene, whenever I see you, like, you say, I hug you, Nene, because it's somebody I got love for. That's just how I am. Like, if I don't fuck with you, I just don't fuck with you. And if I fuck with you, I love you and I'll do anything for you. And
that's
this
the
is
truth,
how it is
man. Always feel safe. You know, we had events and stuff together. It's all love and family. And let me make sure y'all get to the car and y'all good. Everybody straight. Did you have something to eat? Did you have something to drink? It ain't like, oh, I'm Quan, so I'm at this party, so it's all about me. It's always about everybody, you know, at the event. And when you eat, we all eat. And we all have a real good time, and it's all love. And, you know, and I appreciate that. I do. But you got some callers. They hit in my inbox. They like, yo, please get some love. Please let a couple of these callers in. Then they're going to clear up some other things. Is the Queen Sabrina still on the line with us? She's still here or she gone?
But
she might have gone. Okay. Well, let some of these callers in.
Let's gamble. 702-917. You live in the Writing Royalty Clubhouse. And the legend Quan is on the phone. How you doing this evening? 702.
Got nervous. Did they get nervous?
No, I thought I heard something. Hello?
I don't know. I'm waiting.
Yeah, I guess that's a bad gamble. We done crapped out. Yeah, we crapped out. We're gonna move on over to the Midwest.
We're going to another one. Yes.
614-446. Good evening. You are live in the Writing Royalty Clubhouse, and Quan, the legend Quan, is on the phone.
Hey.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, like, come on, man. Stop playing.
Hey,
Aaron.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Lisa.
Kiana.
Hey, Nene. Hey, Quan, what's up?
Hey,
Kiana. Hey, who is this? Because she said my name right. Whoever this is, she pronounced my name right. Who is it?
It's Kiana.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
What's going on?
Hey, Kiana.
Hey.
You know what? That's, and I always pay attention. If you pronounce my name right, I'd be like, you know what? Yeah. That means they've been around me to hear me speak my name so they know how to pronounce it.
Okay, I just got a quick question before I'm going to tie up the line. I would say after you wrote your last book, and it's all said and done, what do you want everybody to remember?
That I lived how I wanted to. That I bucked the rules every opportunity that I could get if it didn't make me happy. That I did what the fuck I wanted to do, regardless of the consequences. And you can do it too. I wanted this to be like, to where no author or no person is afraid to try something different or do what they feel is right. Because far too often we try to be politically correct. I had my whole little phase when I was trying to kind of be politically correct, and you would see me at the events with the tie on, even though I do it very nicely too. But you would see me at the, you know, certain events trying to conform. And it's this, and I got to be who I'm going to be. I wasn't put here to be who you want me to be. I got to be who I'm going to be. And that's what I want people to remember most about me. Be who you are supposed to be. Don't be like, you know, sometimes you got to bite your tongue and be politically correct and you don't have to respond to things. Well, fuck that. Long live anarchy, as long as you respect me.
No, but
to the side, though. Be who you're going to be. Okay. That's what I want people to remember more than anything. Like, be whoever you are and be comfortable in your skin.
That's powerful.
Okay.
Thank you, Kiana.
And y'all keep on doing your thing, writing royalty. Y'all doing your thing.
We love you. Thank you. Thank you, Kiana.
Yo,
thank you.
Kiana, you know what's going on, right?
What's happening? Say it for us, Kiana. Say it.
Say it. Side chicks is winning.
We love you, Kiana. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, Kiana.
All right. Aaron, take that 702-917 real quick.
And we gonna gamble on that again?
Yeah. Did we gamble on that the first time?
Yeah, they wasn't saying nothing.
Hit him again. Did you let him in?
Hello?
Are they in?
Okay. Yo, what's good?
What's good? You in the clubhouse?
Bill and Mama, what's poppin'?
We got the legendary Quan on the line. You got anything for this brother? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, is that nigga Quan? Is that nigga? Yo, what's good? What's poppin'?
Oh, yo, you see, you have me in New York mode, like, nigga, you ain't nigga. Where you at? Let's meet. Come on.
That's me. Word to me,
yeah,
my nigga. What's good?
You see, my whole demeanor changed. Like, nigga, I got Batmobile. What happened? Motherfucker won't
do
this. We on an internet person. What up, my nigga?
Yo, it's on me. You know what I mean? This is your world. I'm just trying to get over here and act the fool like I be doing.
Hey,
what's
man,
your name, caller?
Yo, my name is Lawrence, a.k.a. Dollar. I'm that nigga, you know, who make you out. What's up?
That's what's up.
Yo, let me tell y'all a funny story. Whenever this motherfucker calls, because I don't do a lot of blogs on shows, and I don't talk a lot, period. But whenever this motherfucker calls, they never let him through. Y'all,
wow.
I think y'all was the first people to let him through.
Wow. That's that ninny power. I got that ninny power.
Yeah.
I can't, yeah, that's just, that's why it's called Boss Lady Publishing. I got that power. I let him on in here.
Creep like that was happening. Yo, Nene, good looking, Mama. What's happening with you, too?
That's
yo.
What's up.
I'm going to save all the shout-outs to last. Right now, I'm going to get out a couple of questions just so, you know, I can please the listeners and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
To keep it 100, you know what I mean? Because I go back, you know what I mean, from the beginning. I'm a long-time reader. I know I act a fool and stuff, but, you know, again, I'm a reader. I read books.
Mm-hmm.
The first book that caught me off guard, you know what I mean, with reading Quan books was Hoodlum. Now,
mm-hmm.
we can, you know, really go back and forth in regards to where did, you know, it all started and stuff. For me, it was like, yeah, I read Gangster, I read Road Dogs, but once I got to Hoodlum, you know, really took me somewhere because it was
mm-hmm.
a lot of shit I was dealing with in the streets, you know what I mean, really doing my bad boy thing, and then finally I got good. But on some Hoodlum shit, you know what I mean, why is it taking so long to, like, really finish and fully tell this story? Because I don't think any and everybody understands, you know what I mean, like, how powerful that book truly, truly is. They only look at it as a start of this, a piece of that. They don't really, you know, take the bits and pieces and the jewels and knowledge that's really spitting in Hoodlum.
Mm-hmm.
What's taking
yeah.
so long to really, you know what I mean, blossom this to where it really needs to finish off?
I mean, this thing is hilarious. Yo, you know what it is with that whole Hoodlum 2 thing? Because I'm going to jump out the window and say you talk about Hoodlum 2 because I keep tying the plot into these stories. When I wrote Hoodlum, Hoodlum was 2 books. And that book was like 300,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we can't print that shit. You got to chop it down. Because at the time, I'm still new, so nobody has enough, because, like, for as popular as sequels are now, we had to do standalone stories back then. If you signed a 3-book deal, it was for 3 standalone stories, unless you had a great plot for it. So it wasn't no, yo, let me get the first 20 parts of this joint. Ah, man, like, you had to really write some shit. So, and they were like, you're too new for us to gamble on doing a sequel. Let's see how the first one goes. So I had to condense the story. And as I'm condensing the story, I lost the entire file. So, but I had to rewrite everything from memory and bits and pieces of scrap paper. So there was always a Hoodlum 2. Hoodlum was always written to be 2. It was like, all right, for the first Hoodlum, they didn't want to take a chance and publish the second story. So, and then Eve came out, and everybody got on like, wow, Kawan writes good. From a girl's perspective. So, and then it was like, the Hood Rat series, once the Hood Rat series hit, it was a wrap to anything else I had done. So, and that's why Hoodlum 2, like, and I be fucking with them in my reading group. I post pieces of Hoodlum 2 in the reading group just to fuck with them because it's a story that's just always just been, like, sick. Forever, like, you know. And, but everybody
yeah, I mean,
because
I mean, I just think back to when you actually mentioned, and if, I don't know, you know, how many Godfather fans are out there, but it's like, if you can really follow the outline of, you know, the Godfather, yes, you can see where Hoodlum was going, and you know
exactly.
that there's more to tell the story. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
that story in itself coming from, you know, a mafia-type situation in the hood,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? There are real things that are actually going down like that, whether people want to believe it or not. And
mm-hmm.
that's why I say that story right there is, you know, truthfully unfinished, you know what I mean? Because it's like there's so much from when you got this son going to this son and then finding out where, you know what I mean, things could actually go and grow into. Because it's like, yo, there's something missing right here. People might
yeah.
have said, okay, yo, no, that was a damn great story. I love the way it ended. But to me, it was always unfinished because I was stuck. Like, yo, there's got to be more to this. You know, I know where I came from, you know, stepping out of Brooklyn, stomping in Queens, hitting up in the Bronx. When you touch all those grounds and you see all the, you know, the head factors of these, you know, boroughs, there's a whole lot more that's going down in on the underground that people
you're
have no idea.
Much.
And it's
you're
like,
Juan
started telling them.
Dollar, they said you're telling the whole story. We're going to have to see.
No, because no, because he just, let me tell you something. As far as New York underworld, this is a conversation that will go on for 3-4 hours. And anybody
yeah.
that's not from New York will probably still be lost. Like, I'm keeping anything
I'm with
saying.
You. I was
but
with you.
You know
I was
what
with
saying?
You.
No, he definitely, brother, definitely sound like a very, very in-depth reader. We need more readers like that, people that really
yes.
are looking into
they
the
really
content
are
like
at
that.
Are in my group.
Who really look
yes.
into the content.
Most of them are in my group. I have a lot of voracious readers in the Kwan's reader group. It's like
mm-hmm.
2,000 people in there, about 20,000 some odd people in there. And I
and
would
they
say, and it's a lot of people, they interact, and it's just crazy in here. You got your rookie rules
mm-hmm.
and your lurkers and shit, but you have a lot of dedicated readers. And that's a place
and we
where I always
a hell of a lot of lurkers, yo.
But yeah,
keep this.
But
on some real shit, bro, before we get, too far, because like I said, I want to get all
we
of this
get,
out before they
stop
me off. I know y'all going
to
do this.
Yeah, we're about to let you go. We're about to let you go.
Y'all going
to
let me go.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
We're going to have to let you go, Dolly.
And all of that, y'all can't do this to me, baby.
We love you. We love you. We love you.
See, that's why they don't be letting him in. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Yeah, we do. We
thanks
love
for
you.
Calling in, for
my
real.
I appreciate
yo,
it.
Yo, it's all good. Word
it.
Up. KRG,
enjoy
good,
the
you
show.
Know, everybody, you know, y'all be out.
Thank you. We love
yeah.
you.
All right. Thank you. Enjoy the show. Right.
Thank you. Amber,
yeah,
let it on.
That's why
they'll
be laughing, man.
Let it 252-955 if they got their one on, because they've been on there the whole show. If they waiting to talk to Quan, let them in. 252-955.
They are now live.
Hey, you live in Clubhouse.
All right.
What's your name? Where
you calling
from? 955.
We got a couple of minutes.
What's
right.
your name? Where
you
calling from?
All right.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Okay, what's going on?
What's up? This is Niles.
Okay,
what's good?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm just listening, you know,
how
chilling back.
Okay.
I'm all right.
Well,
thank
you
for the brother.
Salute to the troops.
Hey, what's up? Appreciate that.
You got any questions for Kwan tonight?
No, I'm just listening. Go ahead and push somebody through. They got some questions.
Okay.
But we
thank you for supporting Brighton Royalty. Yes.
Thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Thanks
for enjoy
the
show.
Okay. We got an 813-965, Aaron. They've been holding on for a minute. 813-965.
You see that ass? You see it, Bebo?
No, but if you do, please press it.
I don't know. I
see it
I don't
right
work
there.
The switchboard.
I see it.
You got
813
it?
Is live.
There it is. Welcome to the clubhouse. Welcome to the clubhouse.
Hello.
What's your name and where you calling from?
This is V.
Hey,
okay.
V.
What's good, V? V?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey.
V Brown.
V Brown. Hey, how y'all doing?
I'm like, whoa.
Some knowledge.
I was kind
and supporting Writing and Royalty, but I initially was listening to get some knowledge from Kwan. See, I had to get
your
name. Yeah, but I was just checking the show out. That's it.
We definitely appreciate
you. We thank you for your support.
Always, always, always. This was a great show. Very informative.
Yes,
learning a lot.
I'm saying what you got to say off the top of your head because I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know me. I'm just going to be me all the time. I don't care. Like, and I probably should care, but I'm sorry that I don't care. This is what it is.
But he's definitely dropping some jewels tonight, Gloria.
Absolutely.
But how many people are going to listen? Like, you know, for all the jewels I'm giving away free, somebody else is going to charge you for a seminar. So, I mean, are you listening now? I'm putting it out there. What you do with the information is, you know, totally up for whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure our listeners truly appreciate what you're dropping to us, Kwan.
Yeah,
that's right.
You put emphasis on it.
Yeah, because I'm going to have to fix it. I'm going to have to get my life. I've been saying it wrong, too,
guys. That's okay.
I
know.
You
didn't say it wrong. It's okay.
I'm
my heart
New York. I got that New York spin on that name.
Yeah, put that spin on it.
No, some people, I don't even bother to correct them. If I come with you like that, I ain't going to correct you.
Okay. Thank you.
I ain't even
going
to lie. Yo, we got to get these other callers in because they ain't even going to curse none of y'all out, just me.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to do the PSA. Y'all. We have 10 minutes. So make
okay,
it quick. Say hello. Let's go.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going in. I'm grabbing 410-391. You are live. 410-410.
Okay. Come on, you live in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Hi, this is Ashley Tucker.
Hey, Ashley.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Ashley.
Hey. I do have a quick question. Quick.
Okay. What
can authors and readers do to improve the state of urban literature right now?
Well, authors can bring better stories to the table. Stop stroking their own dicks and spend more time writing instead of playing on Facebook. And readers can stop accepting bullshit stories as high-quality work. Because at the end of the day, the fault is with the authors as putting out some more pop material, but how does the author know if you, as the reader, support bullshit? And this is not like a knock or take, but if you buy a book and you understand that the book is not good, why not say that? I don't know who picked one of them over here. Who picked one of them over here? I'm nosy.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Right.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Enjoy the show. Thank you for calling
in. Ashley is an avid reader.
I am.
Okay. Yes,
thanks, Ashley.
Good evening. We're going to go right to the next caller. You're not going to get the long speech. I'm just telling you, you live. 609, you live.
Yo,
609-575.
Welcome to the clubhouse. What's going on, Writing Royalty? What's going on, Nene Capri? Kwan, what's up?
Hey,
what's going on? This is Elijah Foreman from Trenton, New Jersey. Representing
all right,
the
all right, all right, all right.
Okay.
Hey.
What's good?
What's up?
What's
going
on,
family? I just had a quick question for Kwan. As a new author, you know, I'm always trying to pick some of the legends' brains a little bit and try to get some advice on, you know, the longevity of the game and how to stay, you know, relevant. So if you had any, you know, words for me on how to, you know, keep things fresh, you know, that's all I'm calling for.
That's easy, man. I would say put your soul on it every time. I write every book like it's my last book. Because you never know. Because readers are so fickle. Like, you can be the hottest shit in the streets today, and you can be ass tomorrow. Not saying, like, the quality, like, but, like, as far as, like, popularity and stuff. So I go into everything. Every book is a retirement book for me. Like, this is my last one, y'all. And then, I'm just playing. I'm back. But I go into every one like it's my last. Like, I don't spend a lot of time talking about what I'm going to do. Saying I'm doing what, like, and all that bullshit. Like, I just, like, I show and prove. I'm always quiet. Like, I tell them, this is something that I say to all the writers that I fuck with and who I'm cool with. I love you. But in that first week or whatever my publication day is, like, I ain't fucking with you. I'm at you. So It's like, that's my mindset, like, because I got to win.
That's like the Kendrick Lamar of books right there.
I wouldn't even, because, like, the difference between me and Kendrick Lamar said on the radio, like, this is what I tell niggas I fuck with when I'm talking to them. Like, we're sitting here, whether I fuck with you or whether I don't fuck with you, this is something I'm going to say to you in person. So, but no, but, like, aside from that, like, man, just put everything on the table every time, man, every time. Like, put it out there, like, I'm fucked, nigga, this is it. This is all of me. Because every time you say this is all of me and you think you put everything into a book, that battery is recharged when it's time to go to the next. Believe that. You'll feel drained. Oh, you'll feel like you put everything into a book. You ain't put everything into a book, because if you put everything into a book, then you wouldn't have no more to muster up to write the next.
That's real, man. I appreciate
that was good.
Thank you, Elijah.
Yes,
Elijah, thank you for calling in.
Yes. You asked that powerful question. Please hit my inbox with your address, your email address, so that we can get you fixed it by Quan. We like to get that to you, so
the
please
fix.
Hit my
the
inbox.
Fix.
The fix. I just wanted to fix it. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm all drunk. Quan got me all drunk. Every time Quan is around me, I get tore up. This is ridiculous.
All right, we're going right to the next caller. 716, you live.
716, let's go.
All right,
yes.
Playing in 3 minutes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is Angela from Buffalo, New York.
How you doing, Angela?
Hey.
I'm doing fine. How is everyone tonight?
Well,
thank you.
Good. I just want to have a quick question for Quan.
Sure.
First of all, I would like to let you know that you're a phenomenal writer, which you already know.
Thank you.
I enjoy your work.
My question for you is,
will there be a part two to Slim Goody?
Yes. Yes. Everybody loves Slim Goody, but with the animal explosion and me taking all these new responsibilities, I signed five deals for books to come out this year, and we didn't even get to talk about that. But once I can, because I write Slim Goody for fun. I love that storyline.
Yes.
Slim Goody and Black Moses, I love it.
Yes, I enjoyed the book, and it left me hanging. I want to know what happens next.
Okay, well, Slim Goody is also in, not Slim Goody, Black Moses is in, what was that? I think that was, where was that little Nicky guy? I know I wrote him into another story, but I'm definitely going to bring more to the table with those two.
Well, thank you, Quan.
Yes,
thank you for calling in,
Angela.
Thank you.
We love your voice.
Show.
We love to hear your
Good
voice.
Good evening.
Yes.
I ain't going to lie, yo. The rest of the callers going to have to be mad at me. We got 2 minutes left. Like, I can't even do it.
What we going to do?
What I can do is ask Quan to please come back on, because I had a serious question. I ain't going to lie. I'm taking a selfish moment. I'm taking a selfish moment. This is a selfish question. Like, I read somewhere a long time ago that you wrote a book writing cross country. I want to know what that book was, if you'll tell us, or has it been published?
We got
that
2 minutes.
It was never published. It was called Bloodline. It was a vampire novel.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you. I read the whole article where you really were saying how vampire novels was your thing and all that. I remember, and that's how I liked it to do Damon too.
1996.
Bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
I always be
that's
asking
cow.
About Damon. Will we ever see him again?
Damon? Yeah.
Well, we definitely want you to come back.
You're telling me about the character real quick. We got to.
We want you to come back. Let me tell you something in 90 seconds.
In 90 seconds, I got Ghetto Bastard coming out July 8th. I got Renisha Pittman, Doll Fool, coming out July 8th. I got Jonna Brown, March 11th, Wicked Deception. I got Marshawn Jones, March 5th. California Love. I'm working. So I'm sorry.
Definitely.
I just put a plug in it. Y'all trying to rush me. I just put a plug in it. Right to eat. We don't write. We starve.
Yeah. We want you to come back.
Thank you. We want you to come back and do the Quan takeover.
We want you to come back and do Quan takeover.
Whenever y'all ready.
We're
going to
have you do the Quan takeover.
Okay,
Kwan,
whenever
you have
y'all ready.
Our phone line so lit up.
Yeah, they was jammed up. I'm about to.
We love you. We love you. We love you, Kwan. Thank you for the chat room. This is phenomenal. Thanks, Kwan.
Thank you.
Give Charlotte a big hug for me. Tell Charlotte I love her.
Yeah, her name is Charlotte. Charlotte Foy.
Charlotte Foy.
Okay, y'all, we got 10 seconds. We never
thank
like to leave y'all
much.
With dead air. We're going to have Kwan back again. Thank you.
Yeah, whenever y'all are ready.
Thanks
all
again,
right.
Kwan.
Thank you.
All right, no
good
problem.
Night.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Kwan.
Good night.
All right, y'all.